How can I know the secret of Savan? This is the Bhajan Savan Kiriyaranga Vicharasi on page 15. When Savan came, all the flowers bloomed. The doors of Kal power were closed. He won the game of Satnam. By giving satsang, he explained the path. He wants to take the souls to Sachkhand. Meditate on that. Don't become the disobedient one. Becoming Savan Shah, he came into this world and glorified the name of Jamal Singh. He cured those who were diseased with ego. Oh, Savan, come and give us your darshan. Remove the disease of birth after birth so that Ajab, the suffering one, may become well. In which things is Savan pleased? How can I know the secret of Savan? Bhajan of Sanchi on page 15.
Savan kiriyaranga vicharasi meki jana sarasavana di Savan kiriyaranga vicharasi Meki jana sarasavana di Savana aya phula sabakira gai Savana aya phula sabakira gai Kala pavara debu he birgai Kala pavara debu he birgai Jitale satanama di bazi Meki jana sarasavana di Sana kiri aranga vicharazi Meki jana sarasavana di Satta Sangha Karake Rahe Samajonde Satta Sangha Karake Rahe Samajonde Ruha Satcha Kandale Janiyacha Honde Ruha Satcha Kandale Janiyacha Honde Nama japala nabaniyo pazi Meki jana sarasavana di Savana kiri yaranga vicharasi Meki jana sarasavana di Savana shabana jaga vicharaya Savana Shabana Jagavicha Aya Jemala Singha Da Nama Chamakaya Jemala Singha Da Nama Chamakaya Rogi Home Vale Kiti Razi Meki Jana Sarasavana Di Savana kiriyaranga vicharasi Meki jana sarasavana di Savana ao darashadikao Savana ao darashadikao Janama janama de rogamitao Janama janama de rogamita Ajaiba dukiya ho jai razi Meki jana sarasavana di Savana kiri aranga vicharasi Meki jana sarasavana di
In which things is Savan pleased? How can I know the secret of Samhain? I want to begin with Santi's Christmas message for 1990. This is dated December 1st, 1990. He says, "Dear beloveds, may the love and blessings of Almighty God be with you at this time of Christmas and the New Year. We are the fortunate ones that the Supreme Lord has chosen to manifest in our hearts through the grace of our beloved Father Kripal. In the time of Jesus, some lucky ones had the blessed opportunity of sitting at his feet and having their souls awakened. Such a power was he that still his life is remembered and his birth is celebrated after 2,000 years. We should be thankful for all the past masters who have showered grace on us, the unlucky ones who were trapped, kicked, and knocked in this world. They have left their beautiful home of love and light, Sach Khand, to come down and bring us their message of peace. They invite us to come back to our real abode in the palace of the Lord, and then, using their grace, they take us there. Such a soul is Jesus, the Shining One, that it is good that we remember his grace on us, the poor, lost, and blind ones. The new year is also coming, and we wish that it will bring new hope to all the creation. No doubt there are dark and stormy clouds hovering over the world, but in the room of the heart, a lamp is burning brightly, and it shows us the way of love. When we go inside with his grace, we will discover it is all light, all love, and all peace. In this barren land in which we are orphaned, the tears of love have caused the showers of mercy to flow. We should not worry. The Master Power is always protecting us. But we should not delay. We should make a resolve to spend more time remembering that one who saves us at each and every moment. In this way, we can honor the message of peace given out by Jesus, Guru Nanak, and all the masters, including our Father, Supreme Master Kripal. Remembering beloved Kripal, do your meditation with all your heart. May all of Master's love and blessings shower down on you in the new year and beyond. He is the Great One. With all his love, yours affectionately, Ajab Singh." And I want to read Master Kripal's 1964 Christmas message, which is one of my very favorite, not only messages, but of all the things the masters have written, this ranks very near the top for me. I remember Judith and I got it. The ashram was extremely tiny at that time. There was no one there but us. And it came in December 1964. Master's tour had been the following year, and although we didn't know it yet, we were going to India in February of the next year. So it's like this message punctuates the time between two visits with the Master. And it is associated in my mind always with snow on evergreen trees and beauty everywhere. Master Kripal says, "Dear ones, the whole creation came into being by the word or Nam, the God into expression power. The whole creation is the temple of God. There is no place where he is not. In minerals, life is sleeping. In plants, life is dreaming. In birds and animals, life is awakening. And in man, life is awake. As such, we are brothers of all creatures. of plants, of birds and animals. So the flowers and trees, sparrows and doves, are as members of our own order. How simple, pure, loving, and beautiful they are. We should learn lessons of leading lives of purity, holy simplicity, and divine love from them. We should love all, even the sinners and robbers. We should not chop off the whole tree, but give it a chance to grow up again. We breathe the same air. We drink the same water. We bask in the same sun and live on the same Mother Earth. Day and night are two servants who are bringing us up. Man is the highest in all creation. Those who love God should love all of them. He is immanent in every form. There are sermons in stones and books in rivulets. We should live in fellowship with all creatures, with all life. Creation is one family in God. All rishis and saints had the vision of cosmic unity and loved Dame Nature. The whole creation is the house of God, and he resideth in it, Nanak. The rishis sang Ishavasyam Idam Saravam. All that is a vesture of the Lord. Nature is beautiful, except when tormented by the hand of man. And of course, that particular sentence happens to be the first words that Master Kripal ever said at Sant Bani Ashram, when he got out of his car and looked around. He said, nature is beautiful except when tormented by the hand of man. Man is a social being and has to live in some society. Numbers are no index to wisdom, and that holy places of worship are crowded with them. We need that these should be purest and wisest men of life. The society should live by the law of love, be ruled by guardians of the moral law, and live a simple, frugal life. I am not after founding a sect, but after gathering holy men of life, of purity, of simplicity, and of loving devotion to God in all, and to all in God. It is no good to renounce the world and retire in a forest. It is not necessary to renounce one religion or the other, but to have inner renunciation. Like Saint Francis and other saints who renounced everything at heart, but were Christ-possessed or God-possessed. With these words I send you one and all my best wishes at this Christmas day to mold our lives accordingly. Kripal Singh. And we have been reading from Morning Talks, but today I want to skip ahead and read Morning Talk number 21, what the principles are of bhakti or devotion. Because to me, this is companion piece to the Christmas message we just read. It was given 3 years later, on November 18th, 1967, almost exactly 3 years after that message was written. And in many ways, it can be understood as a commentary on it. Both of them put together, in my opinion, are radical documents in which the Master lays down the absolute truth about the universe. And this is what Master Kripal has to say. I was just speaking about devotion, real bhakti, the first principle, the basic principle, and I would say the grandest of all, is to know that God is everywhere. We are living in him, and he is in us. We are living in him, and he is in us. We live and have our being in him, like fish in the river. The fish lives in the water. Its whole life depends on water. It lives in water. It lives on water, from whence it gets its food. When God wished, "I am one and wish to be many," the whole universe emanated, came into being. The whole world is an expression, a manifestation of God. Where is that place where He is not? We are in Him, He is in us, and is our controlling power. All ensouled bodies are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness. When we know this, all is beautiful. God is beautiful, and any world made by Him, manifested by Him, is also beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty, not from ugliness. Anything that appears to be ugly in the world is the result of the spectacles that we are wearing. If the glass of the spectacles is smoky, you will see all smoke. If it is red, everything will appear red. If it is black, everything will appear black. Well, the world is not black, red, or smoky, mind that. So we have to change the trend of our mind, of our heart. The first principle that we have to abide by is to know that He is everywhere. We are in Him, and He is in us. When you know this, you will just pay respect to everybody. They are all manifested in the human body. When we know that He is everywhere and that He knows everything of our heart, how can we do anything that is not good or commit a sin? Our Master used to say, when a child of 5 years is sitting by you, you will never dare to do anything which is wrong. When you have the viewpoint that He is within me, He is outside me, I am in Him, how can you perpetrate anything? Can you? This is the sum and substance, the basic principle. If you abide by it, everything will follow of itself. The world will be beautiful. Beauty comes out of beauty. If the world appears to be ugly or not beautiful, that is the result of the spectacles that you are wearing. If you will cast out evil thoughts about others, all are friendly. If somebody has played any hell against us, we simply retaliate. We harbor those very thoughts within us. Saints have been coming to the world, and the people have been meeting them very disrespectfully. Sometimes they put them on the cross, sometimes they burn them alive. They took the skin off the body of one saint. The people cry, "O God, send us some man to save us." God said, "Well, I have sent you many men to save you, but how have you treated them? They came to give you a right understanding of the whole show, which is that all creation is the manifestation of God, that you are all my children, drops of the ocean of all consciousness, that I am your controlling power. You live in me and I live in you, but you have forgotten." To forget is delusion, or what is called Maya. If you go to somebody whose eye is open, even if you speak ill of him, he still tries to bring you out of the abyss of ignorance. If he gives you something, you should develop it. When you see inside, your whole angle of vision will be changed. Even outside, you will see that it is all the manifestation of God. It is so. And when we meet a master, we begin to see that it is all his manifestation. So the first principle of devotion or bhakti is to know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him and He is in us. If this right understanding comes in, then naturally right thoughts will follow. With right thoughts, there will be right speech, and with right speech, you will have right action. So always pray to God, "Oh God, let us come into contact with somebody who is out of this ignorance and who sees that this whole world is the manifestation of Thee." But how many are there like that? They are very rare, very few. God has been sending these persons of right understanding to give you right understanding, and how have they been treated? God said, "I have sent men to you who have said that they were God, but you have not respected them. I have also sent you those who have said that I am a man like you, it is all God's grace." What do you then say? You say that if He is a man like us, then how can He take us out? These are the aspects of how God sends us men of right understanding and how we treat them. The main principle is to know that God is everywhere. It is a fact, and we have to develop to open that eye to see that it is so. That eye is opened only when you meet with somebody who opens it within you. It is called the third eye or the single eye. You will begin to see that it is all the manifestation of God. There is no evil in the world. If it appears to be evil, it is due to the smoky or colored glasses that you are wearing on your heart or mind. You will find that if you think in the way that I have just told you, then naturally you will have respect and love for all, even for your enemies. They might think otherwise of you, but if you have thrashed out every evil thought within you for everybody, you will see with that angle of vision, which the Master gives you, that it is all the manifestation of God. Then naturally, everybody will be beautiful. You will see this beauty even in your enemy. A perverted view is only on account of smoky glasses. Whatever comes into our lives, sometimes good, sometimes not to our taste, is all due as a reaction of our past karma. What you have sown, you will have to reap. It is no fault of God. It is our own fault. What we have sown, we must reap. If you sow one pepper seed, it will grow into a plant that will give hundreds of peppers. If you sow one mango seed, a tree will grow that will give you hundreds of mangoes. So if you cast out all evil from your mind by having the right understanding, then all will be beautiful. Whatever else comes, either it is a reaction of our past, or it comes from above. We should meet all that happens to us with an open mind, happily. Sometimes it so happens that something comes in our way which we think not good, but that very thing which appears before us is a remedy to set us right, so that we may have something higher. Man learns swimming in water, not on dry land. When you develop that angle of vision, you will have opened your eye to see things in the proper light. You will see that everything is the manifestation of God. Then you will be strengthened. This principle which has been placed before you is a fact. It is not man-made. I gave one or two illustrations from the life of Guru Nanak. Once when he was weighing out some wheat or corn, he was so absorbed in God that he saw Him everywhere. So when you think that I am not the doer, you become the conscious co-worker of the divine plan. How can you say that it is you who are doing this or that? You should say that he is doing it, not you. You are a mere puppet in his hands. When you have that angle of vision, you will, like Guru Nanak, say, I am thine. It is thou, not I. You will be so much engrossed and absorbed that you will forget yourself. So Guru Nanak was weighing out wheat, and when he came to the word Tera, meaning both 13 and thine, he became intoxicated and began repeating, I am thine, I am thine. The 10th guru, when talking about God, said, the whole world is yours, all rivers and mountains are yours, it is you who are manifesting in all of them. He was so much absorbed that he was in a state of intoxication for hours at a time. So this is the basic principle, to know that God is everywhere. We are in him and he is in us. We are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness. This is the right understanding. When you get that, you will have right thoughts. Right thoughts will give you right speech, and right speech will give you right action. It is all God's manifestation. He is the very life of our lives. On this basic ground, the very superstructure of bhakti is raised. When a child of 5 is sitting by us, we do not dare to do anything wrong. If we know that God is watching our every action, our very trend of thought, how can we do anything wrong? So today's subject is what the principles are of bhakti or devotion. First and foremost, it is to know that God is everywhere, to know that it is all his manifestation. He is the controlling power, and we are a drop of the ocean of him. We are living and having our being in him. All other principles follow of themselves. If anything comes that is not according to our taste, that is a reaction of what we have done in the past. That is due to the smoky or colored glasses that we are wearing. The truth remains that it is all the manifestation of God. If through some master's grace, the God in him, right understanding comes to you, you will see that it is so. The whole world is in the ignorance of illusion or Maya. You have to rise above body consciousness to open your inner eye and see for yourself. For that purpose, you have been given some capital to start with. If you live by these principles, you will reap the full fruit of your bhakti. You will see God within you. All our penances and right living ultimately result in what? To know God. Remain where you are. You are not to change your outer forms and rituals or symbols of whatever school of thought you belong to, not the least. You have to love God. The whole world is a manifestation of love. We are all brothers and sisters in God. The same controlling power is keeping us in the body. So this is the sum and substance of bhakti, the basic principle of devotion or love. Bhagat, the devotee, rises into Bhagvant, God. If we have got love for God, we will feel joyful in serving others. In this way, you will go into rapture, blissful rapture. Just like a loving mother who washes her child that has become besmeared with filth, and then hugs it to her breast, so should we hate the sin but love the sinner. That follows naturally. So the main and basic principle of bhakti is to know that we are in him and he is in us. There is no place where he is not. He is here, within me, outside, everywhere. Only your inner eye, the single or third eye, has not opened as yet. A man whose eye is opened will give you some demonstration of it. If you follow his instructions accurately, you will one day see for yourself. There's a great many things could be said in commenting on this talk, because there are some paradoxes in it. On the one hand, there is nothing that is not beautiful. There is nothing that is ugly. There is no evil in the world. If we cast out evil thoughts about others, all are friendly. This, you know, is the absolute truth. But at the same time, Master makes the point that saints have been coming to the world and the people have been meeting them very disrespectfully. Sometimes they put them on the cross, sometimes they burn them alive, took the skin off the body of one saint. So Master is very clear that there is suffering in the world, that we go through things we hate, that people do things to others that are reprehensible. All of that is there, but it does not alter the basic fact that love is at the root of it all. Rabia, the great Muslim woman saint, said, "Love is the core of the universe." This is what Master is talking about here. When our eye is opened and our angle of vision is changed, we can penetrate through all that other stuff and see that it is not real. It is the result of not only our way of looking at things, but the way a lot of the population of the world looks at things. It's like a collective manifestation of Maya brought about by the fact that people do not, as a general rule, live this way, and that actually only the masters fully live this way, although those of us who get somewhere on the path, we may live a little bit this way also. If you think about Jesus' comment on the Shema, okay, the Shema is it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it is the basic prayer of Jews. And according to Jesus, it is the most important commandment. This is what he said. First he quoted, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets." Two sections of the Bible, technically. But Jesus is obviously referring to the entire Jewish tradition that he was steeped in and was teaching. This is what Master is talking about. The two commandments, loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. This is true bhakti. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God is love, but love is what is manifested in the universe. And yeah, things happen to us that we don't like. Suffering occurs. People die that we don't want to die. Divorces happen. Horrible things are done by people to people. Genocide, Holocaust, all sorts of things. Not to mention crucifixions and burnings alive and skinning and all that. the Master is saying, we look beyond those things and we see the reality. Those things are not the reality. They are the result of our thoughts and others' thoughts. The psychologist, I don't know what you call her, the teacher, the counselor, the psychological adept, Byron Katie, says we have to learn not to trust our thoughts. This is what Master is saying very clearly. The way we think we see things is not the way things are. We see through black, red, or smoky glasses, but the world is not black, red, or smoky, mind that. And don't think, I mean, even though, you know, it is the masters who are put through this stuff, as well as us, don't think that they don't mind. I mean, Jesus prayed the night before the crucifixion, "Oh God, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He didn't want to be crucified, not the least. He didn't want to at all. It was just as painful for him as it would be for us. But, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the way of it. And he was able to see through the agony, the suffering, and the pain of what he had to go through and perceive what underlay it. It is a very radical teaching. There is no doubt about it. You know, it's all the masters have taught this, some variation of this. It's certainly out there. But in the message Master Kripal gave in 1962, he makes this point, this very point, and we can see that this is a thread that runs through everything he said or wrote from the very beginning to the very end, because this is the point of the spiritual revolution. The spiritual revolution will come about when people have right understanding. And what is right understanding? That is what the talk we just read was all about. Right understanding will result in right thoughts. Thoughts will result in right speech, etc. And as he says very plainly in that talk and in the talk called The Coming Spiritual Revolution, right understanding is knowing that God is everywhere, and God is in everybody and everything. There is nothing that can exist without him. He is the reality. What we see, what we seem to see, is a perversion of the reality. And you can get into there. The Anurag Sagar gets into why this is. The Kabbalah, the great Jewish system of esoteric thought and spirituality, gets into why this is. Same explanation as the Anurag Sagar. This results from a split in the Godhead at a relatively high level, which was what we call the fall of Kal, and then that indeed in its own time produces what we call the fall of man. But the fact is that all of that is basically Maya, even the fall of Kal. If we go high enough within, we reach a point where that hasn't happened, so that we perceive that the love is what there is. All right, this is Master Kripal's 1962 Christmas message. Dear ones in the Lord, on this Christmas day, I send you my hearty wishes for your progress on your way back to the sweet home of our Father. Entire self-surrender to God is the secret of a true lover of God. Therefore, you should be a man of purity, humility, and meekness. The main thing one should do is devotion to the name of God and see the light and hear the voice of God, the sound principle reverberating in all. For this, he should devote regular time to meditation and conquer the passions through communion with the Master. he should sing of God the Beloved and enter into the superconscious through intoxication of his sweet remembrance. In such intoxication of love, one wishes to kiss the very ground, love all creation and all mankind, and breathe peace unto all the world over. My work is to reveal to you the unity already existing through all, and would ask you to turn away from sectarian strifes to the path of love. This will be achieved by one who will be intoxicated with love. God is love, and our souls are of the same essence as that of God. Love is inherent in our souls, and the way back to God is only through love. Love and all things shall be added unto you. You may read libraries of books. Of what avail are they? You may have many meritorious acts. What avail are they? Far are you from the Beloved if there be not the longing in your heart. Consume hundreds of books in the fire. Let your heart blossom forth with the sweet remembrance of the Lord. Be absorbed in the white radiance of the Beloved. Be absorbed and you will know that the Master is but one with God. He appears in every picture, in every race and religion, every prophet and saint, every scripture and song is the shining one revealed. Let your inner self be overflowing with the love of the Master, so much so that all thoughts of yourself be lost in him. St. Paul said, "It is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me." Be not imprisoned in the jail of I and me. He who hath transcended self, he verily hath attained to the highest. He hath become perfect. Such a one knows no difference between the Hindu, the Muslim, the Sikh, the Christian, the Jew, the Buddhist, and the Zoroastrian. For God is the Lord of all, and in all shines the one picture divine. We are worshippers of the same Lord. The one is within thee, outside thee, in me, in him, and in every place. That one alone doth speak in all. I wish you to awake, awake, awake this very day of Christ. Awake in the kingdom of God which is shining within you. Be not in love with passions. Think no evil of anyone. Strive not for greatness, wealth, and applause. Strive for truth, purity, and humility. Awake in the brotherhood of God. Inculcate love for one and all. See them all in the One, the Shining One. Kripal Singh. And our final reading is Sanchi's very wonderful Christmas message for 1989, which I love very much. December 5th, 1989, New Delhi, India. Dear Beloveds, in the name of that Supreme Power Kripal, who chose to shower so much grace on us, the poor orphans, I wish you all a Merry Christmas and send New Year tidings. That power has come into this world in so many forms, and over the same message is sung. That we poor ones should remember God and serve him in such a way that the negative power is defeated and even death is conquered. We should sing the praises of the Supreme Father by doing the Simran given to us by a perfect Sant Satguru. The holidays are a time for giving gifts, which are the outer expression of our love for each other. But what is the use of celebrating the birthday of a Mahatma like Jesus if we do it in such a way as to forget? The best gift is remembrance, and this we should be giving to beloved Hazur Kripal each and every moment. In this way we can sweep our hearts and minds clean with the broom of Simran, so that the door leading to his feet may be open to us and we leave this world victorious. Supreme Father Kripal gave only this message, and even the wind also teaches us this. If you keep walking while doing the Simran, the destination comes to you by itself. The fort of deceit will be destroyed because walls of sand do not last. We have so many sins on our heads. Hail the power of Almighty Kripal, who carries all the burden. No one is a stranger. Everyone belongs to you. For as the Gurbani teaches, all this world was created from one light. O Guru Kripal, the negative power trembles, and death also is nervous in front of whomever has caught hold of your finger. Apologize to Kripal, remember him, and you will have a happy life. May all of Master's love and blessings be with each one of you in this new year and beyond. With all his love, yours affectionately, Ajab Singh. O friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. This is Devajan Satguru Sona Mera on page 115. I was separated for so many births and was searching for the dearly beloved. May I meet the perfect master so that I may go across. Now I have got the husband, the emperor, who takes care of me. O friends, wandering from door to door, I became very crazy. I did not get any knower of the heart. No one heard my plea. O friends, now I have got my beloved, port of my heart, the treasure of Shabad. I did the practices of water, performing the austerities, and bathed in the places of pilgrimage. I worshipped in the temples and holy places, but no one shared the pain. O friends, my beloved has come and has put me on the path and makes me see him. Listen, O beloved Kripal, make everyone have the beautiful darshan. The life of Ajab is full of bad qualities. Take him across. O friends, the true saint has come. My husband has come, and he loves me. O friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 115.
Satguru Sona Mera He Kirpalani Sehiyo Dina Dayalani Sehiyo Satguru Sona Labadi pritam pyara Satguru pura mil jai menu Oh Shena Shahi Mera Nimilagi Amahi Mera Nishena Shahi Mera Kare Sambalani Seyo Dina Deya Sona Mera He Kirpalani Seyo Dina Deyalani Seyo Seyo Ni Me Dara Dara Pirke Dadi Johnny Coy Namilia Nasunia Joey Sayoni me Gargar Firke Dari Bagalahoe Dilata Johnny.
Love.
beautiful friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. May God bless us all.